Welcome to It Just Means Less, where we talk all things SEC sports. Here are your hosts, Wells Parrishan and Jacob Holman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the It Just Means Less podcast, Season 3, Episode 11. I'm your host, Wells Parrishan, here, as always, with my co-host, Jacob Holman, on this fine Monday afternoon. How are you, Jacob?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm recovering a little bit from this weekend, especially with a little bit of lack of sleep that we had Saturday, Sunday night, as we call it. So how are you on that end?
Yeah, man, I'm recovering too. Just busy weekend, I think emotional weekend for us both, but I think on a different like spectrum. You know, you had two really good wins, especially Friday night. You know, the emotions with the almost comeback by Alabama. And then, you know, I was lucky enough to see my team take one, which was nice, very nice for the for postseason play. So just a roller coaster of emotion of a weekend, but it was fun overall. Auburn's a nice place, very nice city, but you know, I was ready to get out of there.
It wasn't all it lived up to, you know, that it's just different down there. What's your opinion on that one?
It definitely, I'll be honest with you. I'll say I could sense it felt like a smaller community. So it felt like a community instead of a city. So, I'll give you that. Nice sense of it felt small, like it didn't feel huge. You know, when we went all the way down to that side of town where Niffers and everything was, getting back to your house was what, 10 minutes,
if that. Yep.
Yeah, so you know, just kind of besides getting lost in all that construction, you know, that you didn't forewarn me about, but you know, besides that, we were all good.
Yeah, and give a shout out to Michael Floyd. I guess we should go ahead and do that before we move on from this weekend, at least Auburn, Alabama standpoint. Michael was able to get me and Jacob into the Hall of Fame club. He might not listen to this to hear a shout out, but he deserves it after this weekend.
Yeah, Michael, man. It was just Floyd was a great host. Just really kind overall, nice guy. You know, tried to call me out a little bit with the signing of the Mama Goldberg ceiling, but and then Chandler also trying to call me out too, but you know, I'll take it, you know, won the series, so you know, we just gotta kind of take it and go with it.
You know, Floyd and Chandler were not the only ones that called you out this weekend. Shout out Coach Jay. Well, won't go into that whole story, but just know Jacob Holman got called out by the Johnny Harris.
Yeah, sure did. In her own facility. So,
her office.
Yeah.
So, I guess we can go ahead and jump a little bit last week. I think the main story, well, there's two stories in my opinion. I think the main one is UGA losing the series to Florida at home. Florida came in, lost game one, but then was able to bounce back and win game two or three, which was huge for Florida's postseason chances. And I would argue that the other story is going to be A&M taking it from Arkansas, at least the series, and then 10 running them on Saturday. Now, however, Arkansas was able to hold on to the West Championship, which makes them the 2 seed. But overall, I think it was huge for A&M to gain a little momentum after losing 2 series that both me and Jacob didn't have them losing and probably shouldn't have lost.
Yeah, thought it was a huge weekend for Arkansas in that regard. Just, you know, finding a way to – or for A&M, my bad, for A&M to – find a way to win that series after dropping two teams that they really should not have lost to. Think they had Ted Burton back, which is, you know, I think a big part of their offense. But, you know, for whoever started for them on Thursday night, for them to go arm to arm with Hagen, you know, he put up a zero, they put up a zero. So just a thing that if you can find a way to get that deep into Hagen Smith's night without being down, thought that was pretty impressive by A&M on Thursday night. And then, in my opinion, I thought that Florida did what they needed to do to be in my opinion. I feel like right now D1 has all of the 13 and 17, those five, they have them in the field right now. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch. I think Hoover's going to be a little bit more important this week, but I thought Florida did enough to solidify themselves, and I thought LSU did enough too. Sweeping Ole Miss was something that they really needed to do, and I think they knew they needed to play. So maybe a situation like Ole Miss last or 2 years ago, you know, when they go win the championship, or last year. No, not last year. That was LSU. 2 years ago, where, you know, they're the last team in and find a way to win the national championship. So it'll be fun to see what happens next Monday.
Yeah, I'm with you. A team that did not do themselves no favors was South Carolina. Getting swept by Tennessee, not really looking good at all. Kind of getting – I mean, nobody expected them to really go into Knoxville to win. I mean, Tennessee's just different at home. But to be able to be uncompetitive and not at least try and get one game, a close game, was really disappointing. And then you look at Vanderbilt, too. I mean, Vanderbilt was able to salvage the Saturday game, which might be enough to get them in, but they're definitely on the bubble and something Tim Corbin is not used to.
Yeah.
And then I would be lying if I told you I wasn't a little bit excited about how the Alabama and A&M series turned out, because that means that me and Jacob were able to tie on overall record. I went 5-2 last weekend. Jacob went 3-4, which brings our overall season results to 45-25, which is 64%. Which I'm not ashamed of, Jacob. I don't know what your opinion on that is.
You know, not the happiest. Definitely could have been happier. I think I had some teams let me down earlier in the year. And I think Auburn was one of those. I picked them twice this, you know, this whole time. So, you know, they kind of let me down a couple of times. But I had the lead. Should have kept it, and I didn't. Should have. There's some series I probably wish I maybe would have done differently. I thought the Arkansas A&M series would go different. I thought Arkansas would take game one. I thought Hagan Smith would, you know, they usually give him some offense behind that arm, and then I thought all they had to do was take one. So, but you know, sometimes, and you know, I don't think anybody expected Florida to go take two from Georgia. So, you know, it is what it is. I wouldn't really say I'm disappointed in that record. I feel like that's pretty good. And we were better than 50%. So, you know, thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. And I guess it's fitting. You know, I won football, you won basketball, and we turn around and tie in baseball. So I guess it shows that our knowledge are pretty similar. So I guess you call it a, you know, we struggled to come up with a word the other night for this, but an overall good first year. Good first year for our pick-ems and how they ended up.
Yeah.
All right, next we'll go ahead and go into our final power rankings. I think for the second time, and just because it's the final one, we don't really need to explain ourselves much on this one. I'm just going to go through and list who me and Jacob put. Tennessee was 1, Kentucky 2, A&M was 3, Arkansas was 4, State was 5, UJ was 6, Bama 7, Florida 8, LSU 9, Vanderbilt 10, South Carolina 11, Ole Miss 12, 13 is Auburn, and 14 is Missouri. And we got to remember, because everybody's sitting there like, what's your final power rankings? How can you have, you know, Arkansas over A&M when Arkansas won the West, or Tennessee and Kentucky are tied? What makes them, you know, different? And power rankings are not like standings, like we say all the time. And we just had to give the nods, like, you know, A&M over Arkansas because A&M just beat Arkansas because of how, I want to say, now power rankings are. Does that make sense? Would you say, Jacob?
Yeah. Like you said, I don't think it's power rankings, not standings. Now, they are kind of similar to the standings, but you gotta realize that you have, I think, what, one through six or 1 through 7 are your top 8, your top 7 seeds in Hoover. Just, I think, a couple of them are switched back and forth, but these teams, like Tennessee's one, they swept. You give A&M the nod over Arkansas, like you said, because they won the series. Even though Florida won the series to Georgia, I still think if they played another series, maybe it would go different. So it's not all standing-based. And then you can even go down there to Auburn and Missouri. Auburn taking the series from Missouri, I think, you know, regardless of what their records are, that gives them – kind of the nod over there. And they just took the series from Alabama this weekend. So when you win a series against a top superior team like Alabama, you get bumped up a little bit. So just kind of an explanation on that.
All right, I guess we move into our awards for the year, Jacob.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, we picked our preseason, or I guess you could call it preseason. It was when the start of SEC play came. We did our conference predictions and then our award predictions. So starting with Coach of the Year, Wells went with Jim Schlossnagel from A&M, and I went with Wes Johnson from Georgia. Both of us were wrong. But as all these awards are going to be the collective awards from the podcast between both of us, who we select. But also want to preface that we did do the podcast on Saturday or Sunday morning around 1 a.m. after the third game of the Alabama-Auburn series. But because we got confused on the bracket when it comes to picking the games later in Hoover, we did get a bit confused because we didn't have it printed out and written out. So, and we also had different answers. So we kind of had to scratch that one. But these are the awards that we put together Sunday morning at 1 a.m. So just kind of wanted to put it out there because it is Monday night and the awards have already been announced. So just wanted to put that out there before we look like we're just munching off of the SEC offices in Birmingham. So, but like I said, Wells went with Schlossnagel and I went with Wes Johnson from Georgia to start the year. And Nick Mangione is who we thought deserves to win Coach of the Year. Kentucky to a 22-8 record when we both had a miss in Hoover, we thought was pretty impressive. So we gave him the nod. And then at for Player of the Year, Wells had Braden Montgomery from A&M, and I had Charlie Condon from Georgia. Condon broke the BB Corps record for home runs in a year. So we feel like Condon deserved the nod, and ultimately he got it. So he'll be recognizing Hoover in the morning, which will be pretty cool. For Pitcher of the Year, Wells went with Hagan Smith from Arkansas, and I went with Luke Holman from LSU. Hagan Smith did win it, and then that's who we gave the nod to. And then freshman of the year and newcomer of the year, Wells picked Mason Maynard from Auburn to start the year, and I went with Gage Miller from Alabama. We gave the award to we gave co-freshman of the year, we went with Gavin Grahovic from Texas A&M, and then Justin LeBron from Alabama. So just two really good freshmen that we felt like played well this year. Grahovic did have, I think it was 19 home runs, 59 RBIs on the year. LeBron did have 11 home runs and 30-something RBIs, but LeBron did have his batting average was 25 points higher, and he was just really, really solid at the shortstop position with the glove. So just kind of gave them a co-freshman of the year because it was just something that we couldn't really put one over the other. We thought they both deserved it. So luckily we didn't have to make that choice, but ultimately the SEC did go with Gavin Grahovic to win freshman of the year.
Yeah. And I mean, I can kind of understand. I think A&M being the better team definitely gave Grahovic a little bit of a bump, but like you said, LeBron deserved to be on it. And I thought it was interesting that LeBron made first team all SEC, him and Rashawn tied at shortstop. And Grahovic did not even make first or second team. He only got all freshman team. So I thought it was a little interesting that they, you know, you give your freshman of the year, there's a guy that only makes freshman. Now, I'm not saying Grahovic did not deserve it because he is a stud. There's no doubt about it. But I just thought that was interesting how they did that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I didn't know that until you just brought that up. So definitely an interesting way to look at it. But, you know, when you look at the two third basemen that were selected as the, you know, on the first and second team, it's Charlie Condon, who is more than likely going to win the National Player of the Year. And then you have Tommy White on second team, all SEC. So two of probably the best third basemen in the country. Like you and I both agreed, we would probably say that third base is the best position, the most loaded position in the SEC. So, you know, kind of hard to choose, but you know, the first and second overall third base prospects in from D1 are both in the SEC. So just a really solid position.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here looking at our list. Like, I mean, you got the Condon, I got the Hagan Smith. We were both wrong on Coach of the Year, but I don't think we were too far off. I mean, Slosh and Wes Johnson both had really great years. You know, maybe, I mean, if Kentucky didn't have, if you take Kentucky out, you could argue Wes Johnson. I mean, I think that's really, I don't think Slosh is a terrible pick. I mean, they came second in the West with, you know, a really loaded team, but it wasn't like he was terrible. And then, like you said, Luke Holman at pitch of the year, he ended up making all SEC second team. And then you had Brandon Montgomery made first team all SEC team. So that was really good picks. And you had Gage Miller, which kind of that was what you were talking about your third baseman. Probably, I mean, he hit
378.
Yeah, 378 and didn't even make all SEC team, which is embarrassing. Now, Mason Manners was a bad pick. I'll admit to it. But I will try and save myself a little face because when you look at Mason Maynard's home versus road splits, he's hitting like 300 points better at home than he is at the road. And when we were making these picks, a lot of the teams that only played really at home because non-con, you're going to go play your Austin Peay's, you're going to play your Lipscombs, you're going to go play schools like that. So we hadn't really seen Mason Maynard's on the road. So that's my only save face for Maynard's pick. But everything else I thought was pretty close, Jacob.
Yeah, he had a Maynard's had a decent game Saturday, his last one. You know, I know he had a bomb, I think, and then a double that he said something about on Twitter. I saw it earlier today. So, but yeah, I thought our biggest, just kind of like a little bit of a recap before our predictions earlier in the year, I think our biggest miss on the entire year is definitely Kentucky.
Right.
I don't think that's kind of a no-brainer. We both had Kentucky not making Hoover, and they were co-conference champions. So definitely thought that was kind of our biggest whiff so far. But I think what we're going to go ahead and do is get into this bracket, quote-unquote bracket, that the SEC decides to make that gets absolutely wacky after Wednesday.
Right. So the first game, which will be tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Session one at 9:30 is the 6 seed Georgia versus the 11 seed LSU. Me and Jay, we're going to go through, I think, at game by game and just say who we're going to take. And then when we get later in the bracket with their different picks, we'll say, see, I had this team here versus this team. And we'll just try our best to keep you not confused, because we got confused working our way out without the paper. So I can only imagine how it is when somebody's listening to it. So I'm going to take UGA to beat LSU. I just think they're the better team. I think LSU has been playing really hot. I mean, they are, you know, 12 and 3, I believe, in their last, I guess, five series. Maybe not quite 12-3, but pretty close, because I think they started
10-5. 10-5. 3-12.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they're 13-. Yeah, that's right. But I mean, that's really impressive, right? Where they close out the year, they put themselves squarely in the picture for Megan Hoover. So I am going to take UGA, though, which is a little confusing when you sit there and look how they lost to Florida, and then you're fixing to play one of the higher teams in the SEC. But I just like Condon and the boys to get it done.
Yeah, I like Condon too, but I'm going to go LSU. I think that Georgia's just not had the most success in Hoover recently. And LSU is obviously LSU. They're going to bring all the junk Cajuns in there at 9:30 in the morning. I think it's going to be a fun environment. I'll be there. So I'm going to look forward to LSU and watching Condon versus Tommy White. And, you know, both, I think LSU needs to win this game to really feel really comfortable. So they'll have something to play for. Georgia, maybe, you know, they throw it a long shot, win the whole thing, maybe top eight, but, you know, so they got something maybe they're fighting for too. So it'll be a fun game to watch.
Yep. And then the second game of the session doesn't have a time because it's like 35 minutes after the first game.
Yeah, it'll be
the 7 seed Alabama versus the do what?
It'll be about 2 o'clock because nothing ever goes normal in Hoover.
I don't know. James Spann seems to think it's going to be a really good weather weekend, and we're going to beat the allegations. So we'll see. But the 7 seed Alabama versus the 10 seed South Carolina, and I know where Jacob's going to go, and I'm going to go right there with him. I'm going to take Alabama. I just think South Carolina is on the struggle bus, and I think them losing right here might be really – I mean, I don't know if it's going to push them out, but it sure doesn't help their case for getting into the postseason. So I'm going to take Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bama too. Just feel like that when Alabama makes Hoover, it feels like it's hard to pick against them that first game because they seem to always find a way to win it. South Carolina's not necessarily been the most – hot in Hoover, and then they've lost their last 6 conference games. So I'm going to go Bama coming off of a huge win to salvage one at Auburn and put themselves in really fighting for something here. So I think Bama's going to win that one against South Carolina. And then going into session two, the first game of session two is the 8-seed Vanderbilt versus the 9-seed Florida. I'm going to go with Florida to win this one. What you going to go with?
I'm going to go Florida too. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know who's going to be on the bump for him, but I think, you know, I think their bats are going to be good enough. Can Vandy get them out? Let's see. So it leads up to a Tennessee-Florida game to start the double elimination play in session two. And then the last game of the night, which will be about 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, is going to be the 5-seed Mississippi State versus the 12-seed Ole Miss. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to take State. I'm going to take State because it's probably going to see Cal Stevens on the mound, right? Ain't that right, Cal?
Yeah, Cal Stevens.
Yeah, you're going to see Cal Stevens on the mound, and he was the one pitcher to beat Mississippi State. I mean, to beat Ole Miss when they played up there in Oxford. So even though Ole Miss is also on the struggle bus, I really think having Cal throwing against them is going to be a boost of confidence for State. So I'm going to take State to beat Ole Miss.
Yeah. All right. I'm also going to go State too. It's going to be, you know, I think it's got a chance to be rowdy. I think there's going to be a lot of both fan bases there. You know, you never know what can happen in Ivan Hoover. Places just becomes different up there at night. So I'm going to go with Mississippi State to win and round out day one.
Yep. And then the first game on Wednesday, which starts our double elimination, is the 6-seed Georgia matching up with the 3-seed Kentucky. We know Kentucky will be playing in this game.
Correct.
Like I said, it's at 9:30, and I'm gonna take UGA. No, sorry, I lied. I'm gonna take Kentucky. I'm gonna take Kentucky to get the job done here. I just think it's hard not to take Kentucky. They ended up hitting 307 in conference play, which is the best by 12 points in SEC play. So I think they'll be able to swing it versus UGA. So I'm gonna take the Wildcats right here.
Yeah, I'm also – well, no. Yes, never mind. I am going to go with Kentucky to win this one. I got confused at the bracket already. just looking at it got me confused. But I am going to take Kentucky to win this game against LSU. I think their bats are going to be good enough. Not saying LSU can't get them out, but LSU's bullpen is not that great. Watch them in person. So I'm definitely going to take – which, you know, I imagine tomorrow maybe Luke Holman, but if it is Luke against Kentucky, I feel more confident about LSU. But Kentucky's bats are pretty good, so I think they've got a good opportunity to win that one.
Yep, and then the second game of session one of day two is a 7-seed. Well, we have the 7-seed Alabama versus the 2-seed Arkansas, and we're going to see how much of a homer Jacob is right here. But I think Arkansas is going to get the job done, even though Bama did take the series from them. I just think Arkansas is going to be the better team, and it's going to show. It's going to show Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Arkansas because I do expect them to throw Hagan Smith. Now, if they don't throw Hagan Smith, I do expect Bama to win this one. But I just, it's, man, he's won the pitcher of the year for a reason. The dude's just so dang good. Lefty throwing the ball from what seems like touching first base. So he's just a dog, and I expect him to throw, and I expect Arkansas to win that one. But wouldn't be shocked if the Tide doesn't, because, you know, it just seems like they always play well those first couple of days in Hoover, it seems like. So, all right, going to session two. It's going to be number 1-seed Tennessee. We have it as playing the 9-seed Florida. Who are you going to take?
I'm going to take UT. I just think Tennessee is the better team. I think they're going to get it done. I think I like Florida beating Vanderbilt. I just don't like Florida beating Tennessee. I just don't think they match up well. And UT's already beat them 2 out of 3 this year. So give me the Vols.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee to win this one too. I just don't know if Florida's pitching is going to be able to get them out enough. Tennessee's lineup may be the most dangerous. I don't know them or A&M toss up, but it's going to be rowdy in there. Against Tennessee, so I'm going to go with Tennessee to win this one against Florida. And then to round out the night, we have the 4-seed Texas A&M playing who we have as the 5-seed Mississippi State. I'm going to take A&M to win this game. I think they've got a really good opportunity to show their bats, you know, get an extra day of rest. So I think State's hot right now, but I see A&M winning this one on Wednesday night.
See, and I'm going to take State. It's going to be Gerangelo throwing, and he was the winning pitcher to College Station, got the job done. He ended up holding them to, I don't know if the run was charged to him or not, but the final score of that game ended up being like 5-1, 6-1 Mississippi State, and they were able to get the job done. So he was one of the few guys that was able to really shut down this A&M lineup, and the other two that started that weekend ended up giving, oh, the final ended up being like 6-1, 5-1 in the other two games too. So if Gerangelo is pitching, which I assume he will be, I'm going to take State right here because he's already shut him down once, and I think he can do it again. All right, next we go to Thursday. And then the first session of Thursday is the loser's bracket. The loser's bracket is the first game of the loser's bracket at 9:30 is game 9, number 6, Georgia. Or what I have Georgia. I think Jacob has LSU here. Versus number 7, Bama. And I'm going to take UGA. I'm going to take Bama to win the first game and then lose the next two. Georgia swept Bama. Now, I understand it's not their ballpark. It's Hoover. Bama probably has the home crowd, and you know who knows what happens at 9:30. But I just can't overlook what UGA did. I guess it was pretty early in the season. I think it was the second weekend. But so I'm going to take UGA to take this game.
Yeah, I have it as Bama LSU, and I think Bama wins this one. I think they're going to knock out LSU at 9:30 Thursday morning. Now, I think that'll be the point where, you know, as a Bama fan, you get nervous about your arms that you have. But, you know, I think everybody may, you know, if you need a guy to come out and throw an inning and he can do what he needs to do and come back the next day, I think that'll be all right. But I think Bama gets it done to keep playing and then get to that 15th conference win.
Yeah, and I think if it is end up being a Bama-LSU game, I think Bama will win. But I just with the UGA matchup, I like UGA or Bama.
Yeah.
And then the second game of session one on Thursday is who we both have being number 9 Florida versus I have number 4 A&M and Jacob has number 5 Mississippi State. And I'm going to take A&M to beat Florida. I just think A&M swings it so well and Florida maybe doesn't pitch it as well, even though they probably can hit it not as well at A&M, but pretty close. So I'm going to take the Aggies to beat Florida on that morning.
Yeah. So like you said, I have it as Florida versus Mississippi State. I've got Mississippi State winning that game. Understandable that regardless, I think Florida goes home. I don't think their pitching is going to be good enough to beat either State or A&M. So I'm going to go with State to win this game. And then go into the winner's bracket part on Thursday. So to start the winner's bracket, session 2 of Thursday, it is who I have. I think we both have it as Kentucky.
Yep, we do.
I have it as Kentucky versus we think we both have it Kentucky versus Arkansas. I'm gonna take who did I take? This is where it gets funky. Okay, I have Kentucky winning. I have Kentucky beating Arkansas.
Okay, I have Arkansas winning, which I believe the winner of this game does not play again until Saturday. Is that correct? I think so. So I'm going to take Arkansas. What?
You get Friday off.
Right. Which, you know, Arkansas swung as one of the worst hitting teams when it came to the regular season this year. I think Arkansas ended up hitting 243 compared to Kentucky's 307, which might be a little controversial to take take Arkansas over Kentucky right here, but they just played and Kentucky took the series. But I'm just going to go with my gut right here, and I think it's going to be Arkansas to get the job done.
All right, and then the final winner's bracket game on Thursday is going to be we both have it as Tennessee, and then you have it as Tennessee versus A&M, or you have it as Tennessee versus State. I have it as Tennessee versus A&M. I'm going to go with Tennessee to win this one. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm gonna take Tennessee as well.
All right.
I just think they swing way better than State does, and at this point, this is State's Sunday guy, and State they've lost to y'all on Sunday, they lost to Ole Miss on Sunday, they lost to Missouri on Sunday. They beat Auburn, which is not saying that much on a Sunday. I'm trying to think who else they lost. I believe they lost the Sunday game to LSU as well. So I just think by this point, this will be State's third game in 3 days. And I think their pitching will wear out just a little bit. All right. Next, we move into Friday, which I believe will be the winners of the loser bracket from Thursday and the loser of the winners bracket from Thursday night. So first, we have on 3 p.m. Friday, what I have as the number six UGA. Do you have Bama or UGA right here?
I have
Are you
Bama.
Bama? So Jacob has Bama, number 17 Bama versus the number 3 seed Kentucky, and I have number three seed Kentucky versus number 6 seed UGA. And here I'm going to take UGA. And one of the things I did that was because the other games I feel more comfortable about 1 through 4 than I do Kentucky right here. I just don't see the odds that 1 through 4 all make it to Saturday in the semis. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going to take UGA.
Well, I actually have it as Bama versus Arkansas. I took UGA to beat Arkansas in the winners bracket.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go with Arkansas because I have Arkansas, I have Bama beating Arkansas on Wednesday, and I think Arkansas gets to get back on Friday. I have Bama being going 2-2 and then going home. But I think Arkansas makes it to Saturday.
Okay. And then the second game on Friday night, which is a TBD, we don't know the time yet, is do we both have the 4 seed A&M versus the 5 seed State? Is that right? Is that who you got? And just like you had Alabama or Arkansas getting the get back versus Alabama, I'm going to take A&M get back versus State. This will, like I said, be State's. If State makes it this far, it'll be their first game in 4 days. And I just don't see State having the arms to do that. They did struggle a lot in midweek games this year, which they were really good Friday and Saturday night, and then Sunday and midweeks they were struggling. So you figure this is your midweek guy rolling around at this point, and I just don't see them be able to pitch well against A&M's bat. So give me A&M.
Yeah, I have A&M winning this game. I just don't think I think states both the states' losses come to A&M in the tournament. So I see A&M winning it and making it to Saturday. All right, and then on Saturday we have the two semifinal games. The first one will be at noon. We both have it as Arkansas versus Kentucky, or no, you have it as
No,
you have
the I have
UGA and Arkansas.
UGA versus Arkansas. That's what I got.
So I have Arkansas, Kentucky, and I'm gonna take Arkansas to win this one. I think Arkansas gets it done against Kentucky, and gets that. I have them getting the get back too. I just think their bats are. I think their bats are veteran enough for Hoover. I think Dave Van Horn knows what to do in Hoover, how to use his pitching staff the right way. So I'm going to go with Arkansas to win and solidify their spot in Sunday's championship game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I like what you said about David Van Horn pitching, because although they struggle with the bats, Arkansas is leading the SEC in ERA. And they're pretty close as far as hits and earned runs allowed to be in the bottom of the or the top of the SEC, I guess you would say, as a pinch staff. So I think they're gonna end up knocking out the UGAs here. So I have Arkansas advancing the championship on Sunday.
All right, and then the second semifinal is we have it as Texas A&M versus Tennessee, right? And
That's right.
I have Tennessee winning that game against A&M. I think their bats are just too good. A&M, this might be a game where you throw everybody you can to try and make it to Sunday. I think A&M's defending the title. I think they won it last year.
I think that's right.
Think they won it against Arkansas. So, or I think that's right. Or they beat Tennessee, one of the two. But I think Tennessee's going to get this one. I don't see A&M. I think Tennessee's bats are better than A&M's bats. And I see Tennessee solidifying their or getting the second spot in the championship game on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm going to take Tennessee too. This will be Tennessee's third game in 4 days versus A&M's fourth game in 4 days. So Tennessee having the rest of the day before really gives them the edge to me. So I'm going to take the Vols right here. And then Sunday for the championship game, we both have the 2 seed Arkansas versus the 1 seed Tennessee. A little bit anticlimactic, but this is probably what we believe the best two teams in our opinion. At 2 p.m. on Sunday, I'm going to take UT to win the whole thing. I just think they're the best team. They swing it the best. It'll really be interesting to see. Maybe do we see can Hagen Smith come back up from a Tuesday to Sunday, depending on how much he throws? And if he does at that point, I think you see, sorry, I guess it would be a Wednesday to Sunday, which is a little bit unlikely. But if he can get 50, 60 pitches, out of Hagen, they might feel a little bit better versus UT, but otherwise, I think Tennessee's going to run away with this one.
Yeah, I see Tennessee winning the championship on Sunday. I don't really know if it's going to be – I don't know if Arkansas's bats are going to be able to, keep it up with Tennessee's. And so in that case, I see Tennessee winning the SEC tournament championship, and I think they'll solidify themselves as the one spot, the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So before we wrap it up, just throw out a with we have Tennessee winning it. Who do you have as the tournament MVP?
Tournament MVP, Miguel's Christian Moore. Miguel, yeah. Christian Moore.
I had a feeling you'd say that, so I will go with Blake Burke. You know,
okay, that's fine. I like it.
Not to pick the same Bill or Blake Burke or Billy Amick, one of the two. But regardless, those top three are just ridiculous. But that is, hopefully that didn't get too confusing, especially with the, you know, there's so many if scenarios that can happen after Wednesday. So we hope you didn't get lost, but that has been it for season 3 or episode 11 of season 3 of It Just Means Less. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.